It's six Jaguar Roadster, 5-inch white walls on Goodyear tires, fire engine red, chrome on front and rear, white interior, soft like it's Wonder Bread. I'm feeling hurt, I'm in pain, miss my girl, Mary Jane. We made love for the first time last night, and I was hoping I could see you again, Mary Jane.
Do-wop, 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 do-wop.
That's what they say when I drive
do-wop,
by.
Do-wop, 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 do-wop.
I bloodshot red cause I'm so high.
Do-wop, 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 do-wop.
I'm trying to find my girl, Mary Jane.
Do-wop, 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 do-wop.
School in my hood, in my world. She's so dynamite, she's so out of sight. She's so sweet that you can't help but kiss her twice. Feeling hurt, I'm in pain. Miss my girl, Mary Jane. We made love for the first time last night, and I was hoping I could see you again.
Yeah, hello and welcome everybody. This is your host Lamont Patterson. You're listening to I Am Envy. We're going to pump the brakes right there and stop that one because my man is singing about Mary Jane, and I don't want my loyal listeners to think that we're talking about a different Mary Jane or some other kind of substance that might not be legal wherever you may be. And I know how our listeners are. They're always thinking what they shouldn't be thinking. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, welcome to the show. Today is hump day, and I like to say, you know, if you made it this far, you know, with big boys help upstairs, you know, I feel like we could make it the rest of the way, you know. So anyway, without talking too much, we have a dynamite show lined up for you today. We got Miss Jackie August from the rock band Across the Board that's going to be joining us. Let me see if she's in the building. Hello, are you with us?
Lamont, hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What time is it by you in the world, wherever you are?
2 o'clock, 2 p.m.
But 2 o'clock. I'm on the other coast.
Oh, well, that's lovely, boy. And I could already tell we're going to have a great show. I could already hear it in your laugh. That's fantastic. Well, listen, everybody. Today, we're going to be kicking it with Across the Board, who's an alternative pop rock group from Toronto, Canada. And we're going to chop it up with Miss Jacqueline right now. So, Jacqueline, why don't, instead of me reading all this good stuff about you guys, why don't you just tell the listeners? Make it easy, baby.
So, hey, y'all. My name is Jackie. I am the lead singer from Across the Board. We are a Canadian rock band. We're all over the internet if you want to look us up, Across the Board Band. We started out about 5 years ago doing YouTube covers, and 600 or so videos later, here we are with 5 albums and traveling all over the place. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Well, that's fantastic, you know, because it's, I mean, the way that you just said that everything that just happened is like a little bit different from, you know, the model to discovered, you know, the old school way, you know what I mean? So.
Oh, that doesn't exist anymore, my friend Lamont. If it does exist,
no,
it's fleeting or it's based on lies. The new music industry is so much different. Unless you're, you know, from 16 to 21 years of age and you're just like that super-duper superstar, there's just too much access to music out there. There's so much noise you have to wade through as a listener, let alone a band. So what we've decided to do is just stay indie and build ourselves up organically and just find the fans who like our music, use the internet to reach across, you know, the cyber waves out to the corners of the earth and make relationships, not with record labels, but with our fans.
Yeah, that's powerful, that what you said, and, you know, I'm hoping our listeners, especially all the musicians, take heed to that, because, you know, now on the label side, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of good bands and artists that go unnoticed because they don't have their numbers up, their YouTube up, you know, their social networking thing is not up.
Let me tell you a story about somebody that's in our camp that has amazing social numbers. She won a competition, a TV competition. She's young. She's beautiful. She's super duper talented. She got signed to Taylor Swift's label. And they basically locked her down for a year in some artist development contract and then let her loose after a year and totally squashed everything she was doing up until then. She built this fantastic organic community of followers that loved her to death on Snapchat and Musical.ly. She's like number one person on Musical.ly, on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. She just like blew up on her own for the last several years. The label grabbed her and parked her. They parked her. And now they said, okay, well, you know, you don't fit into our thing and whatever, we're moving on. So they basically took a year of her life and just squashed it. When she could have been developed properly, doing so many other things, or just kept doing what she used to be doing, you know. Sad. It's just sad.
My question is, I'm kind of wondering. I mean, why did they do that? I mean, two thoughts. Obviously, her music had to be solid, had to have legs for to have that type of following. So that's one thing. I mean, I know in this crazy business, you could sound too much like somebody else, and a label will do that to you because they don't want the competition.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, what was a reason?
I'll tell
for
you
doing
what
that?
It was. The reason for that is she didn't have a lot of music of her own. She was like the cover queen. So she did those Musical.ly clips with, like, you know, these 1 minute little 45 second, 15 second funny clips. And she had a huge following. She had Instagram stuff. She's on Facebook all the time. She's really good at that, those little clips. And she was in one of those kind of teeny bop cover bands, you know, that they like to promote on KTEL. Remember those old things? I don't want to say the name because I don't want to, like, so one of those old-fashioned things, the new version of that. And she's amazing. She is a freaking talented little girl. And, you know, she's just a teenager. But labels get greedy and they just want to stomp on people and just, like, get them ready to do something. But if then suddenly label changes, ideas change, they found somebody different or better, next shiniest piece of diamonds in the, you know, in the rocks there, and off they go. And it's kind of sad because I just think they just walked over her. And I just, like, labels, what they do today is they wait for you to build up your own organic following, and then they want to get on board with that, but they still want to take the money that they've taken, that we all know about. We know how that works. I mean, I just watched this documentary on Netflix about Pearlman, who ran the boy bands NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and how those guys, after a year of busting their butts out on the road, making millions of dollars for the label, had this party because they were going to have their big check at the end of the year. They each got $10,000. And they looked at each other like, what? Huh? After everything we just did, you guys? And when they broke it down, they were charging them for all those dinners and all those hotels and all the stuff, for making them pay back all the stuff that the label put into them to develop them. To the point where there was no money because they were paying everybody else the money. There was nothing left for them. And it was designed that way. I still see label contracts where they talk about record breakage. They take off so much percentage for breakage. Excuse me? We don't even ship vinyl anymore. What era are you living in, you dinosaur? Like, excuse me? But that's part of a record label contract still. Like, come on. So, yeah, I'm a little anti-establishment record label. I'm like I just agree with the way Chance the Rapper did it. You know, he just went out there and said, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. Here's my music. You're my followers. It's up here. Listen to it. Here, let's go. So that's sort of our philosophy. So we're just cruising around doing our own thing, and I think there's more power in that, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. I, for one, I happen to have a deal with a major situation, and I also do a lot of stuff independent as well. And coming from another era, I had to learn how to do it both ways. So I definitely see the benefit of both, and I definitely have learned over the years how to kind of maneuver between the two, because both of them
got some good stuff
to it.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about it as a band. Would we be against signing with a label? No, but we would want control of our own music. We want to own our own masters. We want to be partners with the label. We don't want the label to control us. And I think the way we are right now, we're happy.
You're in a power posture as well, because be quite frank with you, there's a lot of situations out here that are actually looking for artists like you, because there really aren't any true A&R departments no more. I mean, they're using a lot of independent labels. That's what they're using the independent labels for, is to do the A&R work. You know, they let an independent label.
They're using us to do our own A&R. We're doing our own A&R by building up our YouTube channel, by building up our Instagram, by building up our own followers. So we come to the label with, you know, 10 million fans, and we say, hey, we already have more fans than so-and-so had when you signed them. Look at us. And that's very attractive to labels. And I think that's a smart business model. If I was a label,
I would wait
and
sit
down and wait, you know?
Right, and see, the other thing, there's no loss factor there, because you've already developed, you've already shown that you have the ability to sell and move music, and the powerful thing is money only means something to the people that don't have it. These major labels have tons and tons and tons of money, and they don't have a problem making money with you, but like you said, if given the wrong situation, they'll make money off of you instead of with you.
That's right, and I think it's true that labels are seeing things differently. I mean, Taylor Swift left her label, Big Machine Records, last year, and I noticed a lot of artists who have gone out on their own over the years and created their own labels, and for all the same reasons. And I think the big labels are a little more cautious at the same time as being perhaps a bit more collaborative with artists, but it's always a dream of any artist to be signed by a big label and have the ability to reach suddenly to a global following and be on those big monster stages opening for other acts on that label who are bigger. And it's hard to do that when you're an indie artist. It's pretty much impossible. It's really hard to do that. Unless you have a friend who's like a band member in one of those big bands, or you buy on to concerts, because I heard that happens. It's tough, right? So, but you can create your own following as an artist and play to them. Those are the people who want to hear your music anyways. Focus on your fans. I think if you focus on making the music you want to make, playing it for the people who want to hear it, then it doesn't matter, because you're doing what you want to do anyways. You're doing what you're supposed to do as an artist.
Well, I can certainly say there's not too many artists out there that have your mindset, and that's a great and wonderful thing, because that's definitely how you have to do it these days.
Yeah, and don't get depressed about not being able to have A&R from Sony look at your stuff, because you're only one Twitter share away from these people now. It's not like the old days, you know, the last generation, my dad's era. Trying to get a record deal means you had to find a way to get your music in front of somebody who's going to sit down and listen to it and then like it within 10 seconds. Like, it was really tough. I'm sure a lot of really good music just basically was thrown in the garbage before it was even listened to. Nowadays, if you get a really excited fan who has a big Twitter following for something other than music, who says, gee, I really like this band, and shares it, and then one of their followers is Ryan Seacrest, it's like, oh my God, you know, suddenly you're, I just gave him as an example, just to throw an example, but, you know, just like somebody with a lot of clout in the music industry who's a media person, suddenly they're retweeting your stuff. It's like, whoa, that's all it took. It took 5 seconds. Twit, twit, twit. There you go. And we are all one tweet away from stardom, you know? And it's kind of cool. It's exciting. It's interesting to think that there's somebody you don't know out there that's going to share your one video that they loved, and that one person's going to hear it and then book you for the next Woodstock.
Yeah. That's the wonderful and fantastic thing about the age of the internet.
It is. We didn't have that before. There was no way for
a small-town
girl from mid-central Canada to get her music in front of, you know, the big labels in L.A. or in New York or in the U.K. and London. Like, we just, there's no way. It wasn't going to happen.
Right.
It wasn't going to happen unless all the stars aligned. But nowadays, you can just have that one person in your Twitter following, you know, or your Instagram page who's like, man, I really like this band. Have a look at this. And all of the people who follow them because they like Kentucky Fried Chicken suddenly are like, yeah, man, that totally is cool, and I'm going to share it with everybody else I know. And suddenly, boom, you go viral, and the labels are calling you. There's tons of stories like that. And I know so many bands who, in the last 5 years, have signed with big artists, with big labels because one of their videos went viral. And the labels jump on the bandwagon, which is great business practice, right? That's great entrepreneurial business practice.
No, I understand. You know, I understand why labels do it, because you can weed out your losses definitely that way. Well, I have a question for you. I understand you're a multi-instrumentalist, and let's talk about that a little bit. What inspired you?
Yeah,
what motivated you to do this?
Well, I started out in concert bands when I was a kid. I picked up a guitar. That was my first instrument. But then when I was in grade 7, we started having the option in school to go into band, you know, at noon. And it was sort of a good way to meet friends or have fun or do something at lunch hour, you know. So I picked up an oboe and a flute and a saxophone. I just thought all the instruments I kind of went through looking for something that I thought was cool enough. it's like I needed a cool instrument. I started with an oboe, which is like the so not cool instrument. So the least cool instrument in the band. And then I went to a flute because I thought, well, flute's fun. They're in the front row, and those are all my fun girls. They're there. And then I looked back, and all the cool guys were, like, playing saxophone and trumpet, so I wanted to go to the back of the booth to pick up a sax.
They gave me a flute, and I gave it back to them.
I gave it back to them. And then the drummer was so cute. I was like, I got to learn how to play these drums, man. And the next thing I know, I'm in a rock band married to a bass player.
Wow. Did your parents play?
They didn't, but they both were music lovers. So my dad played his records all the time, at nighttime, on the weekends, at his parties. There was always music playing. He loved his electronics, his stereo, you know. So he loved music. So he played music for us all the time. We just, as kids, we just had so many influences. My mother played music in the car all the time, and she would sing and dance to, like, ABBA and Nana Muscoli, sing from that era. And we just had really, there's three of us in my family. I have two brothers. They're both musicians, too. And we just got the music bug early in life. It was part of our life. We were all in music lessons of some sort. We all, if we asked mom, can we have a guitar? Can we have an amp? Can we have this? Can we have that? She would find a way to make that happen and find a way to get us in a lesson or figure out somebody who could come teach us or buy us a book. You know, there was no internet then when we were little, right? So it was always, you had to buy a book or you had to learn how to read sheet music, which we did because we were all in band. So we learned how to read sheet music. So she would go to the music store and she would buy the anthology of Elton John or the anthology of the Beatles, and then we would learn those songs, you know? And then as we got a little bit older, my brother started putting up Kiss posters and Pearl Jam posters, and and Nirvana posters, and my other brother was into, oh my God, Jimmy Buffett and Neil Young and Simon and Garfunkel, like different eclectic tastes, right? And me, I was like Fleetwood Mac, U2, Pink Floyd, The Doors, like I was right in the middle of all of that. But I listened to all this music all the time. And because my brother, there's all a little bit of competition between us too, because we're all about a year apart. And we always had a cottage to go to that was my great grandfather's. So it was in the family, and we would go there on the weekends in the summer, and there's nothing to do, nothing, no TV. There was no friggin' internet. There was like, you're at the cottage, there's no heat. You got a campfire and a coal bucket that you know, if it's too cold, you put coal in the fire and you warmed yourself up and you grabbed a guitar and we just sang Simon and Garfunkel songs or Beatles songs, like whatever we could remember. My brother is awesome at singing the first two verses and one chorus of every song, but he could never get past the bridge. It's like, I don't remember the rest of the song. So we were really good at singing, like, the very first, you know, minute and a half of any song you could ever imagine. But it was us. And it wasn't just us. Like, everybody on the beach that we had a cottage at was like that. And even now, to this day, you know, I brought my husband out there from where I grew up, which is about, you know, 3,000 miles away from where I live now. And the thing he loved the most was the community campfire where all of the generations came around. You have the little kids, the medium-sized kids, the next generation, the grandparents, all of them hanging out, playing drums, playing guitars, taking turns doing songs. And that's just how I grew up.
Fantastic. Well, hold on, Jackie. I think we got somebody else to have a question. Let me see who they are. Awesome. Let them in.
All right. This is Aromas here on the line.
42. Yeah, you're on. Come on.
Okay, yeah. I'm joining the conversation. It's good to hear people talk about something that they love, you know, especially music.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. What's your
name? My name is Aromas. Aromas is my name. And I had a question for you, a couple, really. I wanted to know what your early influences, or other than that you mentioned that, but I mean, when you saw, who was the first person you saw live? And
wow. Yeah, the very, very, very first person that I ever saw live, the very first band, was a band called Nazareth.
Say that
I
again?
I don't even know how. It was a band called Nazareth back in, like, when I was about 12 years old.
Okay.
Nazareth. Do you remember that? They were.
I do.
You know,
I mean, I saw the name. I remember the logo. I never saw them, but I remember them being out there.
And I was like 12 years old, and I went to their concert, and it was the first time I ever smelled weed in the crowd. You know, what is that smell?
Very nice.
What are you doing here? And people like the pounding of the music and the drums and the song. I knew the songs because my grandma had an 8-track of Nazareth that she would play in her old 67 Camaro. And so I knew the songs, right? And I was like, I imagine myself on that stage someday, maybe not playing Nazareth songs, but I just imagined that. I'm like, that's what I want to do. I knew from that age that I wanted to do that, yeah.
You know, also me being, I'm a youth minister as well as using music as a means of communication. I could see you, whether earlier or later, really, I would use the word ministering unto children, but having that like workshops because you sound like you're having such fun with everything.
You know,
children need
it's
to be turned on to it, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting to say that our last album, Sonic Boom, actually was nominated for a Gospel Music Association Award here in Canada, the Covenant Awards, which is sort of like the Dove Awards in the States. And
we're
not a Christian band. We're actually, my husband and I are Christians. We're Pentecostal Christians, but we're not a Christian band. We're a rock band. But we have that same sort of mentality that runs through everything we do. You know, we're believers, and we are very strong in our faith. And even members of our band, I would say there's only one person in our band who's not a Christian, and he's Jewish, and he's super religious. So our band is...
So everybody's on some spiritual consciousness.
Everybody's on a spiritual journey in the band, but we don't lead with that. We don't talk about it, but our band is a very spiritual band, and we all write together. We write together. We you know, we have that sort of singular consciousness that comes to play, and so
wow,
when
you're nominated that's interesting.
GMA,
I had a similar experience. The music that I write, my son, he raps, and my other two children are musicians as well. But we had got a song recorded about the Reverend Michael over at Agape, and it's not a gospel song. It's just it's just a positive song. And my son said, "Dad, that's not gospel." And I'm like, "Shh, don't say anything." So
I know, it's crazy. When we went to the awards ceremony, I was thinking, you know, there's all these fantastic gospel songs that are absolutely Christian songs, and our song is called "Thank You." But for some reason, it got nominated for best album. It's not even best song, but the whole album got nominated. And I was like, hey, what happened here, you know? But it was really inspiring being there with all those people at that awards ceremony, which was really a powerful place to meet up with people who have been in that community. That's not part of our world. It's a community that we understand and we listen to, but it's not part of our everyday life. And it was really powerful to sort of be part of that, to the point where I was talking to, you know, a band member, maybe we should actually spend some time and write a Christian album. That might be super cool, a Christian rock album.
Well, that's really cool. You know, that's cool. With good songs and good music, it goes past religion and all those things. And whatever messages are buried in the songs, I'm like that too. I don't like my, you know, and I'm actually thinking about going gospel, although a lot of my songs, they're not religious per se, but they can fit into the category of just inspiration. So I really understand what you're saying about that.
Yeah.
You know, are you doing shows out in California? Yeah.
Hey guys, let me jump in right quick, man, because I feel a terrible, terrible, terrible need to hear some music right now. But hold your thoughts, and we're going to come back. Hey, Jacqueline, we're going to play you guys a single right now, Wild Ones, and then we're going to come back with a convo. How about that?
Sounds great. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back, everybody. This is I Am India, and this is Wild Ones by Across the Board.
Take me by the hand tonight. I need to leave out of sound and out of sight. Take me, war. Do you feel the light at night? I feel it too. I need to run beneath it and howl at the moon. Don't you know? Well, why?
Molly Starr here, and I always listen to I Am Hindi with your host, Kay Diddy, on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday at 2 p.m., listen from your phone, 347-308-8747, Blog Talk, Kay Diddy.
Pressure's rising.
Yes, well, that jumped out from nowhere, but we're back in the building with our guest today, Jackie August from across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely felt the energy in that song, Jacqueline.
Thank you. That was a song that I wrote, the first song that I wrote for that, this new album that we just released. The whole album is about the idea that we all need to be able to be a lone wolf. But you have to understand the need for a pack behind you. And that song is sort of the fun song of the album where we're just going to go out and play as a pack and be together and no need to run away from it. Just like, let's just jam it out. The rest of the album kind of dives into similar themes of how connected we are to the planet and how connected we are to, you know, higher power, that even though we think we're in control of things. We're not. We're totally controlled by the world around us and you know, our higher power. And, yeah, it was a fun album to write. I'll tell you, I had a lot of fun writing it, trying to use the analogy of the wolf and a wolf pack and the connection of the wolf with the moon and the stars and the circadian rhythm of the planet to what we do as humans.
Great. So we'd like almost what? Almost to the middle of 19. So how far has this year been treating you guys so far?
It's been a crazy year. We started out this year by taking a train trip across our country from the East Coast to the West Coast and back to the East Coast, playing music all along the way. And then we went on to release our new CD to a packed house at one of our big venues here in Toronto called the Opera House. And since then, we've just been doing videos, and we're going to be in studio this weekend actually doing a live in studio version of the album. And then next weekend, we're going off to do the music video for this particular song that you guys just heard. And then this summer, we're touring with one of our friends, Jessica Speziale, who is a rock artist from Toronto here. We're going to be doing an acoustic tour called Into the Wild all across Ontario, which is our province where Toronto is, and into Quebec, which is where Montreal is. So this whole area, sort of Toronto, Buffalo, Montreal, Niagara, all of this area and a little bit north.
Loud it sounds. You guys sound like you guys are gonna be busy and have been busy. So let me throw this out there to our listeners. If you guys just joined the show, we listened and we talked to Jacqueline August from the band Across the Board. Please press number one if you'd like to join us. If not, sit back, continue checking out the show, and we'll continue to bless those eardrums. So, Jacqueline, I understand that you had some kind of health scare.
Yeah, it was a little bit crazy. In July, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, which really sucked and kind of got in the way of life. And it was just before we were recording this album, actually, that The Wild Ones is on, The Wild Ones album. And so I started chemo just before we shot one of our videos for the last album. And actually, we probably shot two of the videos for the last album, Sonic Boom, when I was in the middle of chemo, which was kind of challenging. And leading up until the CD release party in March, I had just had my mastectomy surgery just before that. So it's like every time the major thing that I have to do with my breast cancer came up, it'd be followed immediately by some major thing. It was exhausting.
Wow.
But things just sort of calmed down a little bit now. I'm still in chemo, but I don't go as often, and it's not any of the big bad stuff. And I have one more surgery, reconstruction surgery left. And looking forward to ringing the bell in the cancer center for the end of my treatment in November. And moving on from there, and October during Breast Cancer Month, we're going to be doing a big benefit here in Toronto to raise money for breast cancer research called the Rock the Cure Concert. So we're going to get a bunch of female-led bands, female-fronted bands together, and rock the cure.
All righty then. We have, we're going to continue praying for you. You know, we know Big Boss Man is going to make everything work out for you. That's for sure.
Thank you.
So, we,
yeah.
Not a problem. Not a problem. We have another one of your songs queued up here, Eye of the Storm.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Well, why don't you introduce it and tell us a little bit about it?
Sure.
So
this is a song that was written by our collective band. The music was done by Matt Makarenko from MC2 Music Media, who's one of our two producers. And the words actually were co-written by our keys player, Marty Heller, and myself. And it's all about, this is probably my cancer song for the whole album. Eye of the Storm is about me trying to find peace in the middle of chaos. You know how the eye of the storm is that calm spot? So I'm trying to find it, trying to crawl to it, trying to be in it, and then trying to dance with it. So that's the premise behind Eye of the Storm.
Okay. Well, everybody, like I like to say, let the windows down, turn the air conditioner up, and put your ear on this. This is Eye of the Storm across the board.
I lost the moon and the stars, the city light. I don't know why I can't sleep at night. Dark. Come to grow, can the master.
Back with Jacqueline Augustus from Across the Board, and that was Eye of the Storm.
That was
Jacqueline. Let me ask you a question. I heard you say something about Fleetwood Mac earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I was thinking about Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. She's awesome.
I don't know.
She's kick-ass.
About that when I. When I heard a couple of your notes right there.
Oh, cool. Well, she's definitely one of my influences, that's for sure. To be honest with you, I didn't start singing until 2015 when we decided we were going to come out of the internet box and do our own music, do our own original stuff. Up until that point, we've been doing covers, making cover music videos on the internet, and we gained a following on YouTube by doing a cover series where we would get together in one day and we would learn a song, record a song, mix it down, shoot a music video, edit it, and put it up on YouTube all in one day. And that was the series called Pick Up and Play that we still do. We don't do it as often. We used to do it every week. We don't do that as often. We do it about once every 6 weeks now, but because we got a lot of other stuff on the go, but that's still there, and I honestly didn't even know how to sing. I was a harmony background singer in the band. We had a male lead vocalist for a long time, Julian Peter, and then Julian decided that he was going to go off to film school, and he's still around. He's still a good friend. He still comes by and does videos with us from time to time. He's in a lot of our videos, but he's not been part of the original music, the original albums and stuff. So I became the lead singer suddenly, and I just kept listening to people like Joan Jett and Stevie Nicks and Blondie and, you know, I don't know, just people that sang rock and roll and tried to see how they did it. A good friend of mine, Jessica Speciale, who I talked about earlier, who we tour with, I've learned a lot from her, just watching her and listening to how she sings to the point where I just feel a bit more confident as a singer. But it's not been the first thing in my playbook, that's for sure. That just came about last year.
Well, some people are just born with it, and other people can't buy it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's fun, though. I love it. I've always sang in the car. I've always sang in the shower. I've always, I guess, been a singer, just not a public singer until this project.
Well, you're definitely kicking up a storm now, and you got a good foot in the door, so there's no question about that.
Well, thanks, Lamont.
There's definitely no question about that.
It's fun. It's fun to hear it back. Fun to hear it back. But my most favorite moments are probably just jamming out and playing guitar, to be honest. That's sort of where I find my stride. And I love it when we get into the instrumental parts of our music and I can just watch my bandmates do their thing, you know? That's fun.
Oh, yeah, that's empowering in itself, because once you guys start feeding off each other, I mean, the energy just kind of bounces around, you know what I mean?
It's so true. Yeah. It is so true. I mean, there'll be moments when we're all maybe a little tired or maybe not very connected, and we get on stage, and by the end of the first song, we're like, okay, we're back, we're good.
Wow, that is that's crazy, boy. You know, this musician's life is something else.
Yeah, we live our lives in like late night places and early morning spaces and get naps in between.
Yep, and try not to eat too much junk food.
That's a challenge on the road. That's a
major challenge.
Try not to eat too much junk and try not to drink too much. What else you got going?
You know, well, I was going to ask you, too, well, you know, the stuff, the drink, you know, people say you're playing rock, they automatically assume that you, you know, doing all that other crazy stuff, too, but that's not necessarily so.
No, I don't know. For those guys that watched the documentary The Dirt by Motley Crue, our last
episode
was not
like that.
Hey, it's not like that at all, although we did do a cover of The Dirt on our Pick Up and Play playlist on YouTube. If you Google The Dirt across the board, you're going to come to a YouTube version of it. It just got up. We just put it out like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And we had to change
Vince
some of the words
Vince
in that Neil song.
Vince Neil is a very good friend. Jacqueline. Vince Neil is a very close friend of mine.
He's awesome. I love him. We had to change a few words in the song because, you know, if you look at the video, there's me and my two backup singers, Chazelle and Tasha, singing it. And we really didn't want to talk about big tits and stuff. So we're like, we changed the words a little bit, you'll see. But it was fun. It was a blast. But yeah, rock bands, there's some rock bands like that, but they're really on self-destruct mode. In this day and age, you have to be a bit more business savvy and a little bit straighter, a little bit more healthy, because there's all those trappings and those bands can just fizzle out, you know? There's only so much chaos that a body can handle. And if you want to, you know, live a long time, you've got to take care of it at some point. You know, those guys were really young when they started, so they had a lot of buffer zone. But my band's not that young, you know? We don't really have that kind of buffer anymore, so we have to be careful. But we still have a lot of fun. We still party a lot. We're just a little more, I guess, maybe smart about it, you know? We know when to stop.
Well, that's important. Just say no.
Just say no, people.
Just say no. Yeah.
Weed is legal in Canada, so we've got it is in California. It's just sort of everywhere, and it's interesting when something's everywhere. It's not interesting anymore.
Right.
Which is a pretty good strategy.
Well, this is actually I tell my friends all the time. This is prohibition, you know, it's the same thing that they did with the alcohol and the cigarettes.
Take them away.
Once it's in every store somewhere, won't nobody want it anymore.
Exactly. That's like everything, you know? So true.
Yeah, so we got another song of yours here queued up, so we're going to get this one in right here. It's called Monster.
Oh, Monster. So this is like the good side of the wolf where, you know, as a kid, you've got a monster hiding under your bed.
Wait.
Yep.
Did you say the good side of the wolf?
Yep, the good side of the wolf. So this is like the monster that's the gentle giant. So this is taking a look at it from the monster's viewpoint so that I'm the monster. Let me tell you what I'm really here for under your bed. I'm here to protect you from everything. So don't be so worried about me being under your bed. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to protect you.
All right, you guys. Here come Monster from across the board.
Thank you.
I like your jingle. I am Indy.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. You guys could put one together for us, too.
For sure. Love to. Who do you have singing there?
Excuse me?
Who's singing on your jingle? Who's the voice of the girl?
Alicia. Her name is Alicia Patterson.
Is that your family member?
No. That's funny, huh? I asked her the same thing, but she's a singer vocalist out of New York.
She's good. I like it. That's very
vocalist,
nice.
The same thing. Singer songwriter. Yeah, she's out of New
yeah.
York, but we just happen to have the. She just happened to say having the same last name, but you know, I guess talent just run through Pattersons everywhere. What can I say?
Love it. Oh man, well this has been fun talking to you on the show.
Yeah, I enjoyed you as well. So I was going to tell you too before you get out of here. Let's give your band members a little something. Say a little something about the rest of the guys.
So in our band, there's me, Jackie, and then Andy is my husband. He's our bass player. He's a co-founder of our band. He's when Andy and I met, we started jamming on his guitar and just I don't know, that's how that whole YouTube thing started, and it just expanded. Our keys player is Marty Heller. He's from here in Toronto. He's actually kind of comes from a country music background, funny enough. But he fits right in. He's a great writer. Then we have Ryan Souza on drums. He's actually a reggae artist, and he's a monthly instrumentalist as well. So is Marty. Actually, we all are. Everybody in the band plays. All the musicians play multiple instruments. We're all drummers except for Marty. I play the drums. Ryan plays the drums the best. Ben Healy plays drums, and we've got Andy who plays the drums as well. And Andy's bass player, Ryan's the actual drummer, but like I said, Ryan's a reggae artist and a singer-songwriter. We've got Ben Healy on guitar, who's like another singer-songwriter, but he's an awesome lead guitar player, but he also plays drums and writes. And then we've got our two other vocalists, Tash Henry and Tash Lorraine is her stage name, and Shazam Weeks. And those girls actually also sing with the Arkells, who are a big stadium band here in Canada who tour the world. So everybody's busy doing other projects as well, but we all kind of come meet in the middle for across the board. And that's the band.
That's hot. That's everybody. I want to give a shout out to our little buddy, Michael, MTS Management. Yeah.
Michael's awesome. Michael lets us meet people like you. He finds people like you for us to talk to. We love Michael so much. Michael's been a great supporter of the band, and he's a great PR guy. He's amazing. Big shout out to MC2 Music Media, who are our producers and I guess our indie label, MC2 Records, as well as MTS Records. MC2 in Canada here and MTS in the States. And Darnell and Matt, they write with us, they produce with us. We just got back from a band retreat where we all went out to the cottage and we wrote 6 or 7 songs for the next album this past weekend, like 3 days ago. It was great.
Wow.
Those guys are geniuses. They did our last 3 albums, and they're really good here in Canada.
That's fantastic. Well, definitely, I want to thank you for taking time to come out chatting up with us, you know, and we're going to definitely keep you in our prayers as far as the health thing is concerned. And
thank you.
And the music. I know you guys are going to keep on doing wonderful, wonderful, definitely things. So, you know, just keep your head up and keep on doing what you're doing. It's all good. And you got another fan and some other friends over here on the West Coast.
Awesome. And thanks to your fan who called in earlier. That was an awesome chat. Best of luck to him and his new gospel album that I think he's going to write.
All right. Yeah, he's a very talented actor, singer, songwriter as well. Okay, and thanks a lot, and thanks, everybody, and appreciate you. And come back next week, Wednesday. This is your host, Lamont Patterson. You've been listening to I Am Indy, and today, Miss Jacqueline August, Jackie from Across the Board, has been chopping up with us and telling us what's going on. So go check her out through all her social networks, you know, and support, because that's what we do here, you know. Support all of our up-and-coming established artists and the people that are here to contribute and help benefit one another. Good day, and keep doing what you do.